This is Eric Louvier. Welcome to this episode. What I want to talk about on this episode is the law of attraction and how it's helped me make millions of dollars and change my entire life from a poor kid, you know, who grew up from the wrong side of the tracks, you know, to transforming like my entire family tree, my entire DNA, transforming my entire life. And so first I want to start out we'll talk about where this actually came from, where I got this stuff at a young age. So when I was in high school, my family, my parents joined a multi-level marketing opportunity where we sold water filters. It was called NSA. And my mom purchased like these VCR tapes of these different speakers that were in this MLM opportunity. One of them happened to be a relative of ours who was one of the speakers. And so what they would talk about on these VCR tapes was they would talk about these different books. And one of the books they talked about was The Power of Positive Thinking by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. So I got that book at the bookstore in the mall back then and devoured that book. I loved it. It was the first time I really can remember getting into anything or any kind of book that wasn't like mandatory book reading at school. You know, it was a book that I really wanted to read outside of school. So it was one of the first books that I ever read. I was in high school. And from there, you know, I went on to read Think and Grow Rich and, you know, by Napoleon Hill and other books in high school and then into college. I got into Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar, you know, all the legends, Napoleon Hill. And then later on, Tom Hopkins for Sales. And then, you know, eventually into Anthony Robbins and Brian Tracy and just countless others. And those were really my mentors, right? So I grew up relatively poor. I didn't really have anyone to look up to, but these authors or these personal development tapes and programs and CDs I would get, these people were my mentors at an early age. They were the ones that I felt, you know, connected to. And none of my friends in college or out of college were into any of that. So they thought I was weird. You know, like my roommates, I'd get these magazines in the mail, or these Get Rich magazines. I'd buy them when we're in the grocery store. And they're like, are these books or the tapes I'd be listening to in my car? And they're like, what is this? Who do you think you are? This self-development stuff? You're not going to get rich. Like, why are you, you know, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment and all that. I would just ignore them. It was kind of my little secret thing that I would do, you know, because I didn't want to get made fun of. But I just loved it, right? It was just stuff I really loved because I grew up poor and I didn't want to be poor like that, you know. So that's what I really got into. Hey, this is Eric Louvier. Listen, I want to invite you to join us in my private community. This is a free private community where I share how to make money online, how to get traffic and leads, how to write copy, how to convert these traffic and leads into high-paying customers, how to make money with high-ticket offers, how to make money as a coach or influencer, and on and on. This is where I teach all my stuff, and it's completely free. Just go to disclosuregroup.com. Again, that's disclosuregroup.com, and join for free. Join us, participate, ask questions. I interact with people there. It's phenomenal. Go to disclosuregroup.com and I'll see you inside the group. So I used to get, you know, all these Get Rich magazines, and what I would do is I would cut out the little, back then, the magazines, you could cut out these little coupons and mail them in, and then the people would send you like this kit. This like business prospectus or kit or information about their business opportunity. So I was getting all kinds of stuff in the mail every day because I get on these different mailing lists. So I was getting like business opportunities on how to start a, like, you know, your own, you know, vending machine business or your own pool route business or your water restoration company or, you know, all these different things. So I really loved that entrepreneurial type of stuff. And I also had a professor at Tarleton State University. There was a business society professor, and he was also an entrepreneur. And he had a big impact on me too, where I would just listen to him talk about his business. I'd ask him questions about his business. So at a young age, I was pretty into entrepreneurial stuff back then. And anyway, I would get all these letters and stuff in the mail, and I'd read through those. And some of those get-rich type of books and stuff would talk about the law of attraction. But they didn't really call it the Law of Attraction, or if they did, I didn't really remember it having a title. I just would remember learning how you have to go on faith and, you know, how you have to keep your thoughts positive on what it is that you want, and, you know, that it would be brought to you by God. And that's kind of just the way that I looked at it, like it was God, and which I believe it is, you know, God force providing this. So, but what's interesting is my mail, like in college, was just loaded with letters, right? And these little business opportunity kits. And there was a girl in school that I knew, and she worked in the mail room, you know, like it was a college job. And one day she was like, you know, all of us who work in the mail room here hate you, right? And I'm like, you hate me? And she's like, yeah, we all hate you because it's like everyone else only gets a letter or two. Every day you have like 14 things that we have to sort and put in your, and it's all get rich, make money stuff. So she was kind of picking on me. And I was like, oh no, I can't even like get stuff with the mail without people finding out. So anyway, I had boxes of these letters and these magazines and these kits, and I would just read the sales letters, and I would just, you know, dream about one day being an entrepreneur and owning my own business. And I even had some of them, you know, call my dorm room. So I was playing college baseball, and they'd like call my dorm room, and my roommate played football at Tarleton, and we'd get these phone calls, and he'd be like, hey, there's another guy on the phone, wants to talk to you about some business. And it was like, here's, you know, this is like bugging him. So I get on the phone, this guy would pitch me, try to sell me on buying his $10,000 or $50,000 program. So it was like make money programs all over the place, and I just loved it. And so every chance I got, I got into some kind of sales, some kind of multi-level marketing opportunity, some kind of business opportunity, some kind of venture. I would go door to door selling water filters, even in college, to make money, which I did. I'd sell those things, you know. So I'd even like, they'd have like meetups at restaurants and stuff, and conference rooms, hotel rooms, and I would, you know, get up and speak in front of adults and, you know, try to sell this opportunity. So I was always joining all kinds of different MLM deals. And then in my 20s, I started my own ad and marketing agency from scratch on a just pure faith. I had a job. I was in between jobs. I was in my mid-20s. I had crappy jobs that I hated. I wasn't getting anywhere, and it was too slow. And like, I remember working a job, and then the vice president had come by my little cubicle, and I'm like, that's the vice president. And then someone told me, yeah, you know how much she makes? I'm like, how much? She's like, about $150,000 a year, or whatever it was. And I'm like, oh man, like I'd have to work my whole life to eventually get to the point where I could become vice president of this company. And I would only make 150 grand, maybe a little more for inflation. I just like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to waste my whole life just to get to where I make only 150 grand. I want more out of life than that, you know? So I just started wanting to run my own business. And I just saw that as the way. And I had pounded this into my brain anyway, so I had to do it. And so I remember, you know, going to my mom and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to start this business idea I have. I'm going to start a marketing and advertising agency. And I'm probably going to end up homeless. So if I fail and I'm homeless, can I come stay with you and then just get another job? But I got to go for this. Like, I got to at least try once in my life to own my own business. And she said, yeah, go for it. If you fail, you can come stay here, you know, if you're homeless. So I was in my 20s. I started that agency. I just went on pure faith, just to figure it out as I go type of thing. But, you know, I was going for something that was much bigger than me, that was outside my comfort zone. But here's the thing I remember, and I was just telling my wife this yesterday. What's the worst that can happen? That's the mindset I always had when I would just go for something big like this. Like, what was the worst that can happen? I'd end up broke and fail? Well, I was already broke and I was already failing, right? Well, what would happen? My friends would make fun of me for this? Well, they were already making fun of me for this kind of stuff. So why not go for it? Which, by the way, when I started that, one of my friends who would make fun of me ended up coming to work for me. Okay, so it's like, hey, who's laughing now? Welcome to your new job. So I'm just telling you, like, for me, it was just pure faith that I went for this. And what was the worst that can happen? I would just end up broke and a failure, which I already felt like I was. So what worst do I have to lose, right? Just go for it and maybe something works out. So I did. I went for it. I made a bunch of stupid mistakes, learned a lot along the way, but I learned fast. I hustled my way to a $1 million business. So right out of the gates, this business idea required me to use the law of attraction, and I did. I was obsessed with following these books and the law of attraction, the way it was taught to me on how to focus my thoughts on getting what it is that I want and to just go for it with full faith. It's like diving off the cliff and the net will appear. You have to have faith that the net will appear, or diving off the cliff and you'll sprout wings on the way down and start flying and save yourself. It's kind of like that. You know, one other way I heard this explained was it's kind of like driving from the East Coast of the United States to the West Coast of the United States at nighttime, only being able to see like 50 feet in front of you because of the headlights. You can't see out in front of the darkness, right? Your headlights of your car are only illuminating, you know, 50 feet in front of you. And so you can't see beyond that, but you have faith that you're going to get there. And as you go further, every 50 feet, the light illuminates the next 50 feet, the next 50 feet, the next 50 feet. It's kind of like that. And so just going for it with faith, I always felt like, well, God will meet me halfway. And that's what I learned. Like, if you just go for it, God will meet you halfway, if not more than halfway, maybe 75% of the way God will meet you. So just take 20% or 25% action towards what it is that you want, and all of a sudden, God meets you 75% of the way there, right? Not even halfway. So my mom told me, you know, if you become homeless, just come hang out with me. And they ended up investing in the business because it started to take off. So I made a bunch of mistakes. I made millions of dollars from this, or turned it into a $1 million business. I didn't make millions of dollars. I just kept pouring it back into the business. But again, late years later, I sold my stock, and then I kind of didn't do much for a couple of years. And then my mom passed, and I was not in a good place. I was in a dark time, and I started having all these poverty thoughts again. And I ended up getting broke again and just losing it all. But I ended up getting these little terrible jobs, and I was a complete mess, right? So even after this business, I ended up going to rock bottom again. And these lessons were just priceless, because in business, you're either in a crisis, just came out of a crisis, or about to go into a crisis. So as an entrepreneur, you're always going to be running into problems. You're always going to be running into challenges. You're always going to have to be picking yourself up and dusting yourself off and getting back on the horse again. You're always going to have to be coming out of rock bottom and getting yourself back on top. That's the life of an entrepreneur. So you learn, or I learned at a very young age, how to get back on the horse, how to keep going, how even though it looks like complete and utter failure, that if you just keep going, then it just works itself out. So just keep going. Don't give up. Don't let, even if everything looks bad, even if everything looks like you're completely failed, you haven't. Like the fat lady hasn't sung yet, right? It's the 11th hour. Like, go for it. Keep going. Increase your courage, increase your life force, and increase your faith, and just keep going for it, and God will meet you halfway. So again, I sold off my stock, and then, you know, I ended up getting all these terrible little stupid jobs. I was a complete mess. I was filled with anxiety and depression. After my mom passed, I was in a dark place. You know, I wasn't doing good, okay? Wasn't doing good. Was pretty broke, pretty poor all over again, and didn't have my company anymore. So, and I was getting sued. Had this attorney that was just this young attorney that turned me into a project. It was an old client from the advertising company, and I was like, what does this guy want? Like, finally I got an attorney, and he's like, he just wants you to just pay him, because attorneys can just go sue you anytime they feel like it, right? So I just ended up paying him the last money I really had left and got out of that situation. So it was just a dark time, and you know, all these little stupid jobs I had made me feel really bad about myself, because I went from owning this big ad agency that I'd grown, you know, and we expanded to these other cities, to not owning it anymore after I sold my stock and then spent all the money and then got sued and spent that money and then was, you know, couldn't get a good job. I was just a mess. Again, I went back to my operating system. Remember, I grew up on the wrong side of the track. So for me, it was like I was right back to where I grew up. So, but then all of a sudden, when I had enough of feeling sorry for myself and being rock bottom down, I decided to go for it again. And at this time, I had to change my thinking, because I had stinking thinking, like Zig Ziglar says. So I guess when you're at rock bottom, all you can do is look up. From there, when you're on the bottom, you can't go down anymore, right? You're on rock bottom. So at that point, you stop looking down on what could go wrong next and what could go wrong next and what if this happens and what if that happens. So you get to a point, or I got to a point, where I stopped thinking about, oh no, poor me, what else could go wrong, life is terrible, and started looking at, okay, what can I do to fix this? What can I go for? What do I want? And then get the faith to go for it again. So this time, but more intelligently this time around. So when I had enough of, you know, this dread, this doom and gloom, I decided to, you know, get on the horse and go for it again. And I guess we're near, you know, at rock bottom, you don't have any other choice unless you want to just stay at rock bottom. So at this point, I wanted to get a six-figure job with an ad agency or marketing company, because I really wanted to see how they did things. I never worked for a big ad agency or a marketing company. I just created my own. So I really wanted to know what that was like. And so, again, I remember sitting in front of a computer. I was in the little dining section of our apartment, me and my fiance at the time, now my wife. And I remember reading Think and Grow Rich Again on the computer, because this was the internet days, right? This is like 2004. And like, I could just read these books online. And then I went to all my other go-to books, but I remember being on this online forum and finding out about this book called Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. And so I decided to read it. There was a whole forum dedicated to this book, and I would read the forum and what everyone was saying. And I was like, oh man, this is what they call it, the law of attraction, right? So the Science of Getting Rich, I devoured it. It was this law of attraction thing. So unlike anything I had ever read at that point, where it basically was all about the law of attraction, so was that forum. It really transformed my life, because I had never looked at it with a name. I just thought it was God. I just called it a God. This is God. So I could identify with what was being taught in that book and in that forum. And I was always sensitive to stuff going on, you know, like vibes or whatnot, sort of all this weird, you know, woo-woo stuff that I just felt was going on, but I never had any titles for it or any training on it or coaching or anything like that. I just called it God force, you know. So God would meet me halfway and provide, and I just banked on that all the time, because it always worked out that way. But that book, The Science of Getting Rich, was written like in the 20s or something. So I found that super fascinating that even way back then, this was a thing. So I got all into it again and read all the other books on law of attraction and some Christian books like the Prayer of Jabez and others. And at that time, I stopped thinking negative thoughts. I stopped thinking about what all was going wrong and living that fear-based poverty type thinking. You know, I stopped thinking like you need a checkup from the neck up, right? All that. I stopped thinking like that. I started transforming my thoughts to be more based on what it is that I want versus what it is that I don't want. And it's easy to drift away from this. And I have these periods of my life where I drift away from this completely. And I don't live like this anymore. And what happens is I start losing. I start going downhill. Like, you know, things start going wrong and going down and more problems. And then I start dwelling on that, and I start stressing out about it, and I start getting anxiety about it, and then can't sleep well at night, and this is problem. And it's like this downward effect is I'm just going down. Okay, so what I have to do instead is catch myself and go back to thinking positively. The Power of Positive Thinking by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. Start using the law of attraction again. Stop thinking negatively. Stop thinking about what I want as opposed to what I don't want. Because you if you're thinking about what you don't want, that's where your focus is at. That's where your attention is at. That's where your emotions are at. So you're going to get more of that. But as soon as you change that and you transform it over to only focusing on what you want, only focusing on going and getting it, having courage to go get it, thinking big and envision what it is that you want, crystallize what it is that you want, feel what it feels like to have what it is that you want. Like if you want that $1 million house, go look at $1 million houses. That's what we did. So you look at the $1 million house, you want the $1 million house, and then you go look at it and tour it, you know, open houses or whatnot, envision it, and have the courage to go for it, and God will meet you halfway or more than halfway. So for me, the worry and the anxiety was a daily part of my life then. Okay, it was stinking thinking. So I went all in. I replace any negative thoughts I had with positive thoughts. That's important too. Anytime you have a negative thought, replace it right away. Try not to complain verbally, because when you speak complaints, who hears it first? You, your ears. It comes out of your mouth and into your ears, the negative talk. When you're focused on what you don't want, when you're focused on all your current problems or your current barriers or obstacles that are preventing you from getting what it is you want. But it starts with what you want. Do you even know what you want? Are you even thinking about what you want? Because you ought to want to do that. So I changed from focusing on what I don't want, started focusing on what I do want. I started playing pretend in my mind of a better life. Just pretend. I'm playing pretend in my head, like, just these fantasies about making more money and owning a business and all of that. So I focused on, at this time, it was a job I wanted. I wanted to get a really good job. I had crappy jobs that weren't paying me much, and I wanted a six-figure job. So I started going for it. I read those books. I got back into the groove. I started using the law of attraction. I started thinking in a certain way, and I interviewed for six-figure jobs only. Now, at that time, you wouldn't think I would get a six-figure job because of the stupid jobs I had. They were bad jobs. They wouldn't be the kind of job where, oh, where are you currently working? Oh, okay, well, and they frown upon that. So I was interviewing for six-figure jobs that I actually felt like I wouldn't qualify for. But I wanted a base salary and some kind of equity deal, perhaps, of an advertising company that would make me $100,000 per year. So I ended up getting that job. But it was in Houston, so they moved me from Austin to Houston over there to take this job, and that's exactly what we did. We took the job, I took the job, and me and my girlfriend, fiance at the time, moved over there. And my salary with bonuses was $90,000. I was like, that's close enough. Law of attraction paid off, which was like twice, more than twice what I was making with the crap jobs. But then, once we started working there, they ended up adding profit sharing to our income, which put me right at $100,000. It was so crazy. That first year, I knocked down like $102,000. It was pretty wild. So after a few years working this job and learning how they run their $40 million advertising company, you know, I got a lot of good experience. But really, after 90 days of being there, I realized this is not for me. I just was milking a paycheck, really, because I just didn't want to be there. I tried. I did the best I could at that job, but it was a corporate job that, you know, they didn't really want to change much, and they needed to change because the internet was starting to kick their butt. But, you know, because they were offline advertising, well, everyone started advertising online. So for me, a lot of great people that worked there that I really loved, but it wasn't for me. I needed to own my own business. So after 90 days of being there, I started like trying to earn money online on the side. I'd been getting into internet marketing and learning like how you can make money with ebooks and stuff and with ClickBank. And so I started doing that, and that was 2004. So I started making a few thousand dollars a month, but really not enough to quit that job. It took until 2006. So in January of 2006, a friend, colleague of mine named Mike Filsaime did $1 million in one day or one week or something in January of 2006. With a launch and his own program that he launched, his own course called Butterfly Marketing with software. And so I was just blown away. That was life-changing for me. His success like that was life-changing for me. It had an impact on me, and he had an impact on me and changed my life as well. So this is where having a coach and a mentor can really change things. And he was one of the first, you know, along with another guy named Dr. Mike Wu Ming, was really my first couple of mentors that I would ever say I had in any kind of business or anything other than baseball coaches. So he really had an impact on me, and I really felt like, you know, if he could do it, now that I watched him succeed, then maybe I could do even a fraction of what he did, or at least I could do it too. So I decided right then and there, January of 2006, that I was going to try to make $200,000 by the end of the year, and that would double my job income, and that would allow me to quit that job. So I went back again to the old faithful, The Science of Getting Rich and The Power of Positive Thinking and other books and courses and coaches and ebooks and bought programs and courses and all that kind of stuff. And I just went all in, no negative thoughts, all in. And I wanted to make $200,000 somehow. And I wanted to give myself a year to get that. So that was January. 5 months later, I was making around $20,000 per month, around $200,000 per year. May or June of that same year. So it didn't take a year. It took about 5 months for me to get there. So I quit my job in June of 2006, 5 months later. I quit that job. We moved back to Austin to Lake Travis, and I was making about $200,000, $300,000 a year at that point. That summer, I decided to go for seven figures. I just felt like here's some other guys I knew, like Dr. Mike and Mike Fulsame and, you know, John Reese and these other guys were making, you know, over $1 million a year. I felt like, well, I could do it too. So I set a goal for a year. Hey, this is Eric Louvier. Listen, I want to invite you to join us in my private community. This is a free private community where I share how to make money online, how to get traffic and leads, how to write copy, how to convert these traffic and leads into high-paying customers, how to make money with high-ticket offers, how to make money as a coach or influencer, and on and on. This is where I teach all my stuff, and it's completely free. Just go to disclosuregroup.com. Again, that's disclosuregroup.com, and join for free. Join us, participate, ask questions. I interact with people there. It's phenomenal. Go to disclosuregroup.com, and I'll see you inside the group. Now that I was full-time working from home online, making a couple hundred or $300,000 a year, why don't I go for a million? So I started reaching out to these people, asking them for advice. Hey, how do I go from making a couple hundred thousand to making a million? I even paid for advice and got advice from people like Dan Kennedy and Gary Halbert and John Reese, Mike Fulsame, and so many others. That was the summer of 2006 that I decided I was going to make $1 million. Ended up getting married in October of 2006. And we were kind of living like rock stars, didn't have any kids, had complete freedom, could go anywhere we wanted, make any money we wanted as long as there was internet there. And so by September or October of that same year, I was pretty close to seven figures, at least on pace for seven figures. I think that right after October, so mid-October to mid-November, I think that was my first 100K income I did in 30 days. So I was on pace for seven figures, but wasn't consistent. Then a few months later, probably around January, February of 2007, it was slam dunk seven figures, like without a shadow of a doubt. So we even had a seven-figure launch where we did over seven figures in 24 hours. So at that point, I was officially there at seven figures. That was 2006, end of 2006, end of 2007. And so for me, looking back, the law of attraction is what was, you know, changed all of that. Because the law of attraction is basically, in my opinion, changing what you focus on. If you're focusing on all the negative, focusing on all the problems, feeling like poor me, focusing on all the stress and anxiety, focusing on all the things that you don't want, where you, what happens is this transformation where you change on a dime, where your attention is now, instead of focused on what you where you're at right now, you know, instead of focusing on whatever is wrong today, instead of focusing on whatever you don't have, you know, that's in your way, whatever is lacking today, or whatever is missing, or whatever barriers in your way, whatever is pounding your mind, causing achiness and bad emotions, stop focusing on those things and start focusing on what you want. So like maybe you want to buy a car, but you can't today because you have bad credit, maybe no income, you live with your wife and your mother-in-law, I don't know. Don't focus on today's problems and dwell on that or those thoughts. Instead, focus on what you want and go with it with faith. Go for it with pure faith, pure liquid faith. Focus on, so maybe go test drive these cars. Go call places that deal with bad credit. Go find a good job or income. Go start taking the action with pure expectations. You're going to get it and it will be provided. You will get it. God will meet you more than halfway. Okay, so I mean, like, the whole world will get out of your way and it will freak you out and fall in your lap and it will work for you and you'll get what it is that you want if you just go for it, okay? Maybe someone just gives you their car, okay? I don't know. It's your prefrontal cortex of your mind, the vibes you're putting out there like a radio frequency where you're tuning into those vibes and those thoughts that's going to bring this to you and you're tuning out the bad stuff. You got it? That's where the transformation happens. Again, it's God meeting you halfway. I'm not saying to sit there on the couch and imagine, you know, what it is that you want and not take any action. It's just going to be given to you. I'm saying God will meet you more than halfway when you go take action with faith and stop thinking, tune out of the bad frequency, tune out of the bad thoughts, tune out of the negative thoughts, tune into the good thoughts, tune into what you want. Stop tuning into what you don't want. Start tuning into what you do want, and you're going to get it. Start going forward, one foot in front of the other, towards what it is that you want. Go ahead and start taking the action one foot in front of the next. Baby steps toward what it is that you want, and it's amazing. You'll get it. I remember my first like million-dollar house. So we were approved. This was like 2006 and 2007. We were approved for a $600,000 house here in Austin. But I wanted a $1 million house. That was what I had envisioned and used the law of attraction to get. So this is interesting. We ended up picking a house that we really wanted, but it fell through. It didn't work out. The house was owned by an NFL football player, and it was a $1 million house. This was 2007. I mean, like, you walked in his house and you could see his stuff, right? He's a famous NFL football player. So the bank said all I needed was like 40 more credit points to, and they'd finance it. So just get that, you know. So I paid off like some student loan or something, and then, you know, that should do the trick. But I had to wait 30 days or so for my credit to come up 40 points, which I think would put me in like the 700 instead of the 600s. So the NFL player wanted to sell it now. So we lost out because I wasn't able to be approved yet. So he wouldn't wait for me to get approved. So I remember, and I'll never forget, I was at the hospital because my dad was there with heart problems. My family, my sister and them were there, and we were in the waiting room. And my brother-in-law was reading this newspaper, and he said, "Hey, man, isn't this the NFL player you were trying to buy the house from?" And he showed me the newspaper, and it was that NFL football player. He had gotten cut from the football team he played for. I think he was hurt, and they ended up cutting him. So I thought, maybe I should reach out one last time and see. Maybe things have changed since he got cut. You know, I hate that he got cut. I'm a big sports fan, so I hate that he gotten cut. So then we got home, and it was too late. My realtor had already called us and left a message at our home voicemail that they wanted to do the deal, and we could take over payments of the house now. On a short lease until the financing kicked in. So basically, hey, let's sign a 6-month lease or a 3-month lease, whatever it was, and let's get your credit up 40 points, get the financing in place, and then the house is yours. And so that's exactly what we decided to do. And it was just quite interesting, you know, how that happened. But it was not just the house, it was all the furniture as well. This guy had some smoking awesome furniture. I mean, it's really, really amazing stuff. Big pool table and all kinds of stuff. So again, you know, it's reading The Science of Getting Rich and the other books. And, you know, I almost forgot. During that time, The Secret came out. The movie, the documentary. And I devoured it right away. It was online. You could buy it online and watch it online. And I remember thinking to myself and telling my wife, I could have been in that movie. Because I've been following the law of attraction all these years. And I was like, I mean, everything they were talking about, I could have talked about the same thing. So it was really funny to me. And what's really interesting also is later on, I would end up meeting most of the people in that movie in some form or fashion. So like just at seminars and different workshops and stuff I'd gone to. There was one workshop in Las Vegas I went to with Mike, the Mike Fulsame. And I mean, there was like half the people from The Secret were there, including Tony Robbins. Including Brian Tracy. It was really crazy that I got to meet most. I didn't get to meet Brian Tracy, but I met Tony Robbins and, you know, all these people from The Secret, the movie. And then I had a workshop here in Austin, Texas, downtown. And right next to us, the hotel next to my hotel, I was doing a seminar at, Joe Vitale from The Secret was doing a seminar on the law of attraction that same weekend right next door. So Craig Perrine, who was at my workshop, said, "Hey, let's go check out Joe's workshop," because they were friends. So we went next door to the Hilton or wherever his was at and watched his workshop for a little bit. And it was just really just freaky for me, right? So then it's kind of like the blue Honda effect, right? You never see a blue Honda. all of a sudden you want to buy a blue Honda, or you buy a blue Honda and you see blue Hondas everywhere. It's where you put your focus on. Like, another freaky thing for me that I'll share with you is I remember there's this boxer. I'm in boxing, right? So there's this boxer we call Triple G. And I remember one of my friends, like, was going to the fight in Vegas to watch Triple G fight. And I was talking to him, and I pulled up behind this car, and the car had Triple G on the license plate. I took a picture and I sent it to him. I'm like, look at that, Triple G, man. And they're like, that's funny that we're talking about him. And there he is right there. And then he's like, that is a coincidence. I was like, that's God. And I was like, it's kind of like God, the Triple G, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God, right? The Trinity. And so all of a sudden, I started seeing these Triple G plates everywhere. Like, all the time. Like, I see them to this very day. And it was just the freakiest thing. I'd be like, there's God. And it would happen in these really strange moments, too. And so, like, then it became a thing for my family. My wife was like, hey, there's a Triple G license plate. And hey, there's a Triple G license plate. So she sees them, too. And then one time I saw just double Gs, two Gs. And I was like, God is good, or God is great, right? Double Gs. And then I started seeing double Gs. I'm like, okay, this is crazy, all right? Triple Gs, now double Gs. But then it was also really weird, too. And I started taking pictures, right? Because I told a couple of family members about this. I'm like, I see these all the time. I take pictures, right, of these license plates. So much so that my family would be like, my kids would be like, Dad, do you have to take a picture of the license plate? I'm like, yes. And so I have like hundreds of pictures of all these license plates that have Triple G and double G. But then there's even spookier other things happening where I would see Triple G on the license plate, and then the car parked next to it would have a sticker for Jesus, or there would be this semi truck on the park there, and in the dirt, someone wrote, you know, God is good, or Jesus, or something. And it's just like, this is just too freaky. So I know this is crazy. This is very woo-woo, but this is the prefrontal cortex. It's the blue Honda effect. When you put your sight on something, you start to see it all the time. Try it with something. Really, really get into it, and then watch how you'll start seeing this all the time. I don't know what's going on, but something invisible is going on, okay? I could do an entire week-long workshop on just the law of attraction or whatever this is. It's like this. Electricity cannot be seen. You can't see electricity, right? You can't see it. And you're not sure how it works. I'm not sure how electricity works. But this is what I do know about electricity. Electricity can cook a man's dinner. And it can also cook a man. So I think there's, except with Wi-Fi, you can't see Wi-Fi or radio vibes, right? Radio waves. But like, something else is going on. There's some kind of radio frequency under our vision thing going on when it comes to this law of attraction stuff. There's other invisible forces going on. It's just too weird. This life is just too weird. It's just too strange. I believe it's intelligently created universe. Don't even get me started on the Fibonacci sequence. Go Google that. Fibonacci sequence. Start going down that rabbit hole. I mean, to me, this is God. Understand this. This is God. Let's talk about it. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You just got to go for it with faith. Just go for it with faith. Dive in, and the net will appear to catch you. Just dive off the cliff with faith, and net will appear to catch you. YOLO, you only live once. You got to go for it. This life is short. This life is just a mist. It's just here today, gone tomorrow. Why not go for it? Why not go for your dreams? Why not take the risk? Why not go out on the limb to get the fruit? Okay? You know what it takes? Okay, let me say this. Don't give me someone with skills. Don't give me someone with talent. Don't give me someone with charisma. Don't give me someone with experience. Don't even give me someone with brains and intelligence. Give me the person with courage. That's who I want on my side. That's who I want on my team when we go to battle in business or in life. Give me the person with courage. Courage is what changes this world. Courage is what makes you great. Courage is what will transform and change your entire life. Courage is what will transform your family's life and your family tree. Courage is what it takes. Increase your courage and go for what you want now. Not later, now, right now. Write down what it is you want. Get clear on what it is that you want and go for it wholeheartedly, and God will meet you more than halfway. But you've got to have the courage to go for it. That's what you got to find within you. The courage to jump off the diving board. The courage to go ahead and jump in the swimming pool when it's freezing cold. You need the courage to go for it. So go get cracking. Go make it happen for you. You can do this. You can achieve what you want to achieve in this world. Go get cracking. This is Eric Louvier. He gone.